There are a lot of Bible scholars, and I kind of use a little parentheses there for Bible scholars, because I was looking it up, trying to find out just who it was that called themselves Bible scholars that didn't believe that the book of Jonah was real, that it was fictional. And I tried to look up these people by name, and I was not able to find anything. I'm sure if I were to dig a little bit further, I could probably manage to dig up a few names. But it says, generally speaking, Bible scholars feel that the book of Jonah is just a children's story. Well, at least a satire or book of fiction. So it leads us to think about Jonah. Was he a real person? What do you think? Was Jonah a real person?
Yeah.
Can we take Jonah as a literal individual? Yes, Bill.
Wasn't he mentioned elsewhere?
Okay. Yeah, he's mentioned in 2 Kings as a prophet. What about in Matthew? Doesn't Jesus refer to him in Matthew 12:40? And it talks as Jonah was in the belly of the whale or the fish for 3 days, and he likens it to his crucifixion and his burial in 3 days in the tomb. So I think that if Jesus refers to Jonah as an actual person, I think we can take that as gospel. So apparently these Bible scholars are not quite as scholarly as they'd like to think. But what do you think is their problem? If a Bible scholar reads this and says, well, this is just a satire, or this is just a story, a children's story, but it's not really real. What is wrong with their thinking?
They don't believe in the power of God, that he'd have the power to do something like that.
Okay.
They're not validating that the Bible is inspired word of God.
Well, they just don't. I think they pick and choose what they want to believe and what they don't want to believe. And they look at it from a human perspective, don't they? They're not looking. How many days did it take God to make this world and everything in it? It took him 6 days, didn't it? I think those were literal 6 days. And if that is possible, that God can do that, create the universe in 6 days, isn't he capable of doing these things with the prophet Jonah? Sure he is. Unfortunately, the book of Jonah is by an anonymous writer. Some people say, well, it was written hundreds of years later after the event, or again, it's like just a story that was written whenever, and it was included in scripture. But I think, I sort of believe that Jonah is the one who probably wrote this. Usually when you have a story on a personal nature like this, it's usually written by the person who actually lived it. So my tendency is to think that Jonah is the one who probably wrote this book, but we don't know. Prophet Jonah is mentioned in 2 Kings. He was born in a small town just about 4 miles north of Nazareth. Of course, we know Nazareth is where Jesus grew up. But he was a prophet of Israel, and he prophesied during the time of Jeroboam the second. And of course, we remember that Israel and Judah were split at this particular time, and that Israel was a northern kingdom comprising 12 tribes, or 10 tribes, and two tribes were the tribe of Judah. So Jeroboam was the king, and there was a lot of turmoil in the northern kingdom. There had been a lot of violence and so forth, and a lot of the people, or most of the people in Israel, were just really depressed and tired of all the violence. Well, apparently they didn't ascribe that to the lack of godliness, God noticed that depression, and so he gave them peace during the reign of Jeroboam, and made Jeroboam a very powerful king, and he defeated everybody around him, and the countries, and he had the countries around him, and so there was peace for 41 years during the reign of Jeroboam. But there was also a prophet named Hosea that we know about in the Old Testament, and also a prophet named Amos. And both of these prophets were synonymous with Jonah. They all prophesied at the same time. And one of the things that Hosea and Amos prophesied was that there was going to be destruction for the country of Israel by Assyria. And so Jonah, I'm sure, knew of these prophecies. And because of it, he was like everybody else. He hated the Assyrians. He wanted to see them destructed. He didn't want them coming in and destroying his nation. So guess what happened? God knocked on the door and said, "Jonah, got a job for you. I want you to go to the city of Nineveh. That's the hometown of the Assyrians. And I want you to preach to them." Well, it was about 500 miles from where he was to Nineveh. So you're thinking, what did Jonah do? Huh?
He went the other way.
He went exactly there. He went west, didn't he? How far west did he go? He walked over to Joppa on the seacoast, and he paid passage on a boat. Well, guess where that ship was going? It was going to Spain, 2,000 miles away across the Mediterranean Sea. I can't figure out how Jonah was a prophet, prophesied for the Lord, and yet he thought that God's distance would separate him from God. I don't know. That would be a kind of a weird thing, but he was in an uproar, and so he headed out. Well, he paid his way, got out there on the ocean, and a storm came up. God caused a storm to arise. The waves were high. Now, some of these ships, when you go back and you look at his history lessons, some of these ships that these people had back in those days carried 200 people. So they weren't little dinghy boats. They were large ships. So anyway, Jonah, he just went down in the bottom of the hole down in the ship, and he just fell asleep. And he was riding this out while the storm kept getting worse and worse. They threw stuff overboard, tried to keep it flowing. Well, the sailors finally decided, you know, that somebody has done something wrong. They prayed to all their gods and all that stuff, and that didn't help. The sea kept getting worse. So they went down and got Jonah and said, did you do something? So Jonah finally admitted, yeah, it's me. I'm the one who caused this. So my suggestion would be to just throw me overboard. And I think that'll settle the problem. Well, they didn't want to do that. So they kept fighting the waves and so forth like that. And it just kept getting worse. So they drew lots and the lot fell on Jonah. So they took him at his word. They just pitched him overboard. Jonah tells us that God prepared a large fish. Now, this is where some of the scholars look with skepticism on this story, because some people refer to it as a whale, some people refer to it as a large fish, some refer to it as a sea creature. But whatever it was prepared by the Lord. And here again, you have to accept the Lord's description of this. We don't know what kind of fish it was. We just know that it was big enough to swallow Jonah, and he stayed there for 3 days. I think during that 3 days, he prayed pretty well, pretty mightily. And I think he reflected on his behavior, and I think he realized that, well, I wasn't able to outrun God's authority after all. So I'm just going to give in and do what God has told me. So 3 days he got coughed up on the beach, and he immediately headed out to Nineveh. Well, that was about 500 miles or so, and so they estimate that it took him about 3 months to make that trip. But when he arrived, he went through the city. Now, the city of Nineveh was about 120,000 people. That's an estimate. But it was a large, large city. And it took 3 days for him to go through the city preaching. He had just a very small lesson that he wanted to tell these people. And that was, you need to repent or the Lord's going to destroy you in 40 days. So you got 40 days to think about this. Well, Jonah still had that hate in his heart for these Assyrians. He did not want them to survive. And all this time he was angry. He was upset. What do you think that the city of Nineveh, remember, these people are not Jewish people. They weren't concerned with the Old Testament laws that the Jewish people had. These were Gentiles. They knew about God. They had their own, but they knew about the Jewish God. And somehow they got word that about this storm and about Jonah being swallowed by this fish. And did they believe Jonah? They follow out his instructions? Sure they did. Even from the king down to the lowest animal, said they dressed in sackcloth and ashes and repented of their sins. And during this period of time, while they were doing this, Jonah went up on a hill and he sat up there, built himself a little shelter up there on the top of this hill where he could watch the city. And he was waiting for this destruction to come upon the city. And, you know, this is desert country out where Nineveh is. It's in northern Iraq today. But it's a desert country, and it's hotter than the dickens in the summer. And he's sitting up on this bald hill watching the city. And he built himself a little shelter, but it wasn't enough. So God came around, threw up through a vine in his path, and it grew up and covered it. Next day, God sent a worm, ate the vine up, and it wilted, and he was trying to teach Jonah a lesson. But God forgave the people of Nineveh, and it did anger Jonah. And, you know, it was another 150 years after this happened, God's forgiveness for the Ninevites. They lasted another 150 years before they were finally destroyed, and that was by the Babylonians. But Jonah is a nice story. I've always been fond of this story, even from a kid, because all the kids love this story, even today. You know, you think back and you teach this, and they're so excited about this. It's a fun story. But how is it going to affect us today? It has some valuable stories and lessons for us today, doesn't it? First of all, it tells us, look at a couple of them. First of all, it tells us about God's sovereignty. And he uses his creation, to accomplish the plans that he had. Used the weather, didn't he, when the ship went to sea, control the weather. He provided a sea creature. Provided a vine and a worm to destroy it. So God was in control of creation. You think he's in control of creation today? Absolutely. He's in control everywhere, isn't he? It also shows God's interest in everybody, in all peoples. Not just the Jews. Now, although they were the ones that were blessed with the Mosaic Law, and they were God's chosen people, why were they God's chosen people? Lenny mentioned it this morning in his lesson. Faith?
The Messiah.
That's right. The Messiah came through the Jewish people, didn't it? And the Old Testament was written for the Jews, but it was also there was information in there for other people as well, information that we can have today and we can take advantage of today. We of course have the New Testament to live by today. Since the Old Testament was done away, it was for the Jews, wasn't it? The New Testament is for us in this generation, but have things changed any? God still has, listen, too long. You have the Mosaic Law, which was provided to the Jewish people, to the Israelites, but you also have a moral law, which was put down from day one, much, much older than the Mosaic Law, but it was a law for all people. And it was a moral law. People knew when they made mistakes, knew when they were wrong. They had morals. They were judged by that. Also, we find out, and we can see from this story, that God has always been in control. Even today, He controls the destiny of every nation. We look at Psalms 22, tells us that God rules over all nations. He still does that today. So it's something that we need to look at with our nation today. Now, we slowly but surely is kind of dying away and getting away from God and his promises, his rules and regulations. And God sees that, and he's going to judge us. Now we are enjoying being one of the most powerful nations on earth, but to depend upon military power didn't help people back in the Old Testament days, did it? Doesn't help people today either. You're going to fail if that's what you depend on. You need to depend on God. And when we don't do that, we're going to be in trouble. And we are in trouble this day. It also tells us in Jonah that mankind as a general rule is accountable to the Lord. So we mentioned and talked a little bit about the moral law that God has provided for mankind. It also shows us with the Ninevites that people can change. So it shows the power of God's word when it comes in contact with honest people and people whose heart is right. And I think these people were honest people, these Ninevites. They were good people. And they changed, didn't they? They realized. And they, you can go to, various places in the Old Testament, and it will list Amos, Nahum. It lists the sins of these people. They had every sin that you could just think of. It was just a list of them. You could go on and on and on and read. They realized that those things were wrong, and they repented. And so they lasted another 150 years before they were finally destroyed. So people can change. We can change also, can't we? People in this day and age, they rub elbows. We rub elbows with people every day that may not know the Lord, but they've heard of it. Whether or not they choose to pursue that knowledge and be able to change, that's another story. But there are people out there that we need to make sure that they're aware of just how we think, and we need to do that every opportunity that we get. Romans 15 and 4, Paul writes, "For whatsoever was written aforetime was written for our learning, that through patience and comfort of the scriptures, we might have hope." I have no doubt that the book of Jonah was written for our benefit. And I think it's absolutely true. I think there was a Jonah. I think that all these things that were written for our benefit and were true. Jesus said it was. Jesus referred to it. It was written in Matthew and also in Mark and Luke. And in that, he referred to the 3 days of Jonah being in the whale's belly, to his death on the cross and his laying in a tomb for 3 days. And Jesus said, it's okay. It's a true story. That's okay with me. Should be okay with all of us. So anyway, I wanted to share that little bit with you. And we'll finish earlier.